So thank you for having me at this conference, in this contributed talk session. I want to talk about having a second look at the Causalite framework. This is ongoing work, and there is some progress from the last talk I had that some of the audience might have seen in 2020. So let's get right into it. I don't want to assume that everyone knows about the Causalite framework, so we will go through the essence of it, but we will also talk about a particular case in detail. So I want you to imagine a person in a box without loss of generality, assume it's Lucian. And this person has a stack of cards. A stack of cards that are given to them from outside the box. And these stack of cards contain information about experiments done outside of this box. Now the stack of cards contains some information on them. So if you can see my cursor, there would be X for location, so where the experiment was done. A would write down the actions that you have done to make to write down. So for example, the procedure that you take into account, where you place some equipment or things like that. And O would contain information regarding what you observed in that experiment. So now once you have these labels and information on this set of cards, you can make sets of these stack of cards with respect to location X. So select all cards that have the same location X, and we would call that an elementary region. Then, and given that procedure, so we would label the region, elementary region RI. And finally, you can also find the set of cards within some procedure that has this. Can someone just let me know what part was cut off so I can go back
I think you
if
just
needed?
finished defining the terms on this page. Is that
Okay.
everyone's? Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for that. Yes. So let me just continue with that. So given these sets of cards that you have R for region, F for procedure, and Y for outcome, you have this relation between these sets where the set of cards for a particular region is larger than the procedure and outcome. Okay. And okay. So now the assertion that we would make is that the paper, the Causalite paper makes, is that a physical theory, whatever it does, must correlate recorded data. And so what we'll try to do is find some compression over this set of all cards, and we will call this physical compression. So we want to work with lesser number of cards in a sense. Okay. So now before we begin the levels of physical compression, there are three. We would talk about the pre-compression phase, which includes organizing the cards we already have. So think of a large region R, which contains most of the cards from all the cards you have. And assuming that that is well defined, which means that all the probabilities within that region are well defined, we would start with that region and now focus on some smaller region RI within it. And now we can think, we can always write it down as some outcomes given some procedures. And here now we will think of the outcomes and procedures in region RI as the measurement for RI and the generalized preparation for RI to be everything outside that region, all the outcomes and measure all the outcomes and procedures done outside of it. And this is the probabilities that we are interested in. We want the Causalite framework to be able to predict these probabilities. And we can write this down as some sort of a generalization of a Born rule where R is just a set of vectors, which is one in the position of the alpha it is required to give the probability for. And P is a list of all the probabilities for all possible procedures and outcomes. So this is going to be a very long vector, but we will work with this in the beginning. Can you still hear me?
Yes,
okay. Yes, we can.
I hope you can still hear me. So now the alphas belong, the label alphas belong to, okay. The alpha gamma, okay. So this is a very large set. Okay, so now, so the rest of the talk will pertain to talking about three regions, R1, R2, and R3. And we will focus on this diagram to explain the three levels of compression in the causalite framework and to talk about the introduction of a hierarchy for physical theories. So to begin with, let us focus on this part of the diagram. And this is the first level of compression. Okay, so now we have the same probability that we were talking about earlier, but now we have the generalized bond rule to look a little differently, where we choose instead of the long list of all probabilities that we had for capital P, the vector capital P, here we have a smaller p, and it we choose a fiducial set of measurements for this region given by the label L belonging to a smaller set. This is the fiducial set for the region R1. And then the R alphas are essentially some general state, which would be given according to the fiducial states here, where these are again zeros everywhere and one in one position. And then the general R alpha will be some matrix multiplied over this. And this is essentially, this matrix is a rectangular matrix. So you're going from a big set of alphas to a smaller set of Ls. So this is essentially what we would say is the first level of compression. And you can think of it as tomographic, like we call it tomographic compression because you can think of it as doing tomography over a particular region. Okay. But now what happens when you try to think about a couple of more regions? And now we focus on this part of the image where we have done the first level compressions on two regions, and then we have the second level compression. So in general, if you have two regions that don't really talk to each other at all, then the second level compression, which we call compositional compression, won't really do anything. So I'm just going through the three levels that are discussed in the causalite framework, but the diagrammatic representation here is new. Okay. And so now we are interested in probabilities over alphas for two regions, so measurements in two regions. And what we do is we take the, once we have the first level compressions, we also do a second level compression on this. And if you have causal adjacency between two regions, these two regions are causally connected and adjacently, so there is no intervention, possibility of intervention between them, then you would see more compression. So imagine you have two gates, quantum gates, and you apply them sequentially, you get another quantum gate, and you do not need to specify all the parameters of each of the two gates. You can just specify the parameters of the new bigger, the new composed gate. Okay, so that is what the second level of compression does. And then the third level of compression is essentially taking all the sets of lambdas that you had for the first and second level compressions. You take all of these and you find some rules where you want to work with fewer number of these lambdas. So it's meta because you're working on the compression matrices here. And that will give you some large lambda, which we call the causalite, which is called the causalite. And here, then you can write arbitrary R alpha 1, alpha 2 over some number of regions as the causalite product, which generalizes the notion of product between spatial and temporal regions. Okay, so now that is the meta compression. We have discussed the causalite framework. To quickly talk about what we do further, we present a hierarchy. So now we talked about meta compression, what it means, but let's take a particular example of it. And the particular example we want to talk about is where you only need to do compositional compression over two regions. And then any three region compositional compression can be expressed in terms of first level compression and second level compression on two regions. So here, this equation is associated with this image. Let's focus on this image. And what we have is we have three regions with first level compression done, and then all kinds of second level compression per two regions done, and also three level compression done. This is equivalent to directly doing three level compression on three regions. So we have this equation here. But now if you assume some causal structure between these regions, let's say R1 is adjacent to R2, which is adjacent to R3, and R1 and R3 are not adjacent, then you can reduce this long equation to a shorter form that gives you a form for two things. The lambdas, so three region lambda can be reduced in equation to some function over two region lambda matrices. And also the labels K belong to this omega set. So these lambda matrices have labels that are associated with this omega sets, which talk about the size of the compression sets. And we find some relation here. So now, we try to generalize this essentially. And what we have is a hierarchy. So the example I was talking about was where N was 3 and D was 2. But now we want to talk about a general thing where N is, well, N and D, we want to go from 1, 2 and onwards. So what does that mean when you have an N region, when you have N regions and you want to talk about them? What is the smallest D for which you can find any N region lambda matrices in the form of these D region lambda matrices. And once you find that D, you can write a general relation for any omega set in terms of these smaller omega sets. And here what we're doing is filling. So if you have this omega set over D regions, you fill it you just take the Cartesian product over more omega sets for each region for the first level compression omega sets. And then you order them, order the indices so that they match this order. And then you take the intersection over them, and that's the general form. So for D equals to 1, it essentially just means that you don't really have any causal structure there. There are just regions that don't really talk to each other. But when you have D equals to 2, you can talk about quantum theory and classical probability theory in them. This is the last slide, by the way. So I'm not going to go into details of each of these, but we are working on trying to populate this hierarchy. So the duo tensors populate the D equals to 2 case. And we are trying to construct models for D equals to 3 and 4, where the notion of causality itself might be much more different than what we are used to. So for example, in D equals to 3, it might be hard to find an arrow of time to begin with. What does that mean? Those are open questions. So yes, I think I'll stop here, being mindful that I went over time due to the technical issues. So let me just go to my...
Okay, thanks, Nidhika.
Yeah.
You actually didn't go over time that much, so we have time for one or two questions, so it's fine.
Oh, that's great, actually. Yeah.
Okay, let me check whether there are questions. Yes, Alex has one.
I have a very sort of naive question. Is you were talking about regions right at the beginning, and I was just wondering sort of, how are you imagining those, both sort of conceptually, and then also, and maybe I missed just how they're defined mathematically as well, like how there are separate regions defined?
So you're asking regarding the regions, how they're defined? So they're defined set of cards, and these set of cards are done through some experiments. So depending on how the experiments are done, depending on what physical theory underlying these experiments is governing the outcomes, you would have different notions of regions, so to say, depending on the physical theory. But essentially you have a notion of location, whatever that would be, whatever that would be meaningfully for those experiments. It could be a GPS, like the GPS measurement of your location, or it could be the measurement on a ruler, depending on what kind of region makes sense for those experiments.